again, you're going to need a copy of Lesson 8. I got a few copies left. Would you believe this over there? I don't think I called you.
Okay.
I won't make you that. Mr. Embry, could I get you to witness another prayer?
Yes.
All right,
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for every blessing that you've given us through this day. We thank you for your continuing watch over us. We pray that you will continue to watch over us and keep us safe and keep us healthy. We thank you for the care that you've shown toward the ones that were sick and are now recovering. We pray that you'll be with everyone throughout this world, especially the sick throughout the world. We pray that you'll be with us through this class and help us in our study as we learn to pray to you and talk to you better. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, so we spent most of our time Sunday morning talking about just being too busy to pray. I guess the basis of this lesson is the idea of the excuses that we have not to pray. We kind of talked about that idea a little bit of how we all have excuses for lots of things, and we make excuses, and the bad thing about that is they're none of them any good, right? I mean, we know we need to pray, and we've been talking in this class about how to pray and learning how to pray and praying for the right reasons and the right motives and in the right manner and things like that. So this class is, again, to talk about the reasons we don't pray for whatever reason. So we got to brainstorm that a little bit Sunday morning. Some of what we talked about is up here. Before the bell rang, I was trying to fix some of the ones that were too light to see. If you can't see that, I'm sorry. But some of these were kind of in our lesson. Some of them were the ones that you brought up. So I want to spend some time kind of going through that tonight. I mean, like I said, we spent most of our time Sunday just talking about the idea of just being too busy. I think we kind of defeated that excuse before we left. So I don't think any of us should leave here and say that we don't pray just because we're too busy. We don't have enough time to do that. So if you have any questions about that, let me know, and I'll reiterate some of the things we talked about. But I'm not going to rehash that tonight for the group, because we got some other things to talk about. But what I do want to spend our time on tonight is some of the other ones, some of the ones that are in our lesson, and then some of the ones that you guys brought up. And I'm going to ask you guys to do a little bit of talking tonight as well, just because what I like to do is kind of go to the practical side of this. And again, we kind of listed some of the excuses that we come up with. Tonight I want to talk about what can we do about that. How can we get rid of those excuses if you know, forgetting is one reason we don't pray? What can we do to fix that? If we know that these excuses aren't good, there should be a fix. There should be a cure for each and every one of them. And I've got a few things written down about each one, but I'm curious to see what you guys have to say about that as we go. And we'll look at a few scriptures along the way, but this lesson is more just finding a way to fix it, the way I look at it. And like I said, there's some scriptures to go along with, and there's probably more than what I could think of, but I think a lot of it is just going to be doing what we know we need to do and figuring out a way to do that. So I ask you guys for help with that as we go along. So the second one I'm just going to kind of use our lesson to begin. The first one, again, we talked about being too busy. The second one that the lesson mentions is this idea of being too dry spiritually. And I struggled with that a little bit, to understand what being too dry spiritually means. How did you guys interpret that? How do you define being too dry spiritually? Maybe you can help me understand it a little better. What's another way of saying that?
Well, the devil wants you dry.
Okay.
Because you burn bad.
Not active.
Okay, not active.
In the spiritual drought.
Spiritual drought, okay. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, like what Brad said, the devil wouldn't like you dry, so that you burn better. I think those are all different ways of saying virtually the same thing. And the way I kind of summarize that is just a low point or a weakness, a point of weakness in our lives, to where we just don't feel for whatever reason, close to God. Actually, I wrote down in my notes just this idea of being distant from God. And you can go ahead and be turning, if you want to, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We'll start there and look at what the scriptures say about this a little bit. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. It says there, Luke 11, verse 5, beginning, "Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." So this is one of the scriptures that the lesson used in the question section. So how do these verses here relate to this idea of a period of spiritual weakness, or a period of, as Brian said, spiritual drought? How do these verses apply to that?
Ask God for help.
Okay. So if you feel a little bit distant from God, what should you do?
Right.
Ask God for help. And so, yeah, talking here in the lesson, though, is specifically about the things that go into that. It says it could be discouragement, could be stress, could be depression, just a general emptiness, things like that, period of weak faith. So whatever that is, if that is pulling us away from God, we need to just realize that exact thing, that it is pulling us away from God. I was asking myself a question, or I've asked myself before, if I feel distant from God, if I don't feel as close to God as I once did, what changed? Who moved? I did, right? So if I moved, if I distanced myself from God, because I know God didn't distance himself from me, the only reason he will distance himself from me is if I have sinned. And so again, that's on me. That's a decision that I have made. And then it's up to me to fix or reconcile that relationship, right? So if I don't feel as close to God as I once did, then I'm obviously the one that moved. So as Dave said, if we feel distant from God, we just feel this, have this period of spiritual dryness, how can we fix that? No other way than to go to God for that. In Luke chapter 8, or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 18, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 18, we'll read the first 8 verses there. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." There's not another scripture, I don't think, that points exactly to what we need to be talking about as this one does. Jesus told them this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So we see another example here of this idea of repeatedly asking for help. And so again, if we find ourselves distanced from God, what should we be doing? We should be praying to God, asking him for help, and trying to get back in that right relationship with him. So if we find ourselves not wanting to pray because we're weak, the answer then that we talked about is praying more, or praying for strength. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James chapter 4 and verse 8, if we want God to come close to us, this verse tells us how to do it. Back in verse 7, actually beginning, James 4 and verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So if we want God to come near to us, we've got to come near to him first. That's the way that relationship
works.
What else can you guys think of if we feel distant from God, or we just have this, again, spiritual drought, whatever, what else can we do? Pray to God for strength. We can pray to God for, we can just pray more. We talked about that, but what else? Right?
Most of those things, too, they don't travel alone. You know, it's not just that, oh, we do everything except, oh, I'm not reading my Bible, or, oh, I'm praying. It's, you know, when we're distant, when we're far away from God, it's usually not just one thing. It seems to compound itself. You know, if we're struggling with some issue, then, or some problem, then it seems that everything seems to fall around that problem. But back in the 11th chapter of Luke, where you're talking about, you know, when it says ask and it shall be given, a better translation of that is ask and keep on asking, and seek and keep on seeking. It's a continually, you know, we know where the well is. Everybody knows the answer to the question, you know, where do we get our strength? Where is the well that makes us, you know, that wets us? It's God. We got to keep. We can't just go one time with the bucket and say, "Well, that's all I need." We've got to keep continually going. Even, I mean, when I think about Paul, you know, in prison. I try to put myself in that place. I've never been in prison. I hope I never am. But I don't know if I'm the kind of person that would. If I'm in prison, I don't know that praying and singing would be the first thing on my mind. You know, having a pity party would probably be the first thing on my mind. And those are all things we have to work on ourselves.
Continue. Well, but were you saying something to go? What was it, Brian?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll go to Brian. Think it'll come back to me. Okay. I thought you were saying something. That was Brad starting.
Oh.
Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, when I feel like that, it's not just me pulling away from God. I'll find myself pulling away from everybody here, or my family, or just kind of, you know, getting in my own thing, space, and dwelling about everything about me, and, you know, and that's even more dangerous, because that's what we're called to be here for each other. And, you know, when I need help, you guys are here, and when you need help, I'm supposed to be there. And so those, like Brad's saying, those things kind of walk together. Like, when you pull yourself away from God, you tend to pull yourself away from people that care about you and love you as well.
Right.
I said study.
Study, okay. Gotcha. All right. So, yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I was going to mention. Brad was talking about, you know, if we find ourselves struggling to pray, a lot of times we find ourselves struggling to do other things, but we've talked in this class. I mean, we're talking right now about having a weak period of faith. Well, how do we get more faith? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. We talked about that idea of hearing and hearing and hearing over and over again, and then praying to God over and over. And I like the analogy Brad talked about. You know, if we're talking about being spiritually dry, we need the water, and the correlation there, I mean, with our physical bodies. I mean, how long can we go without water? I don't know. A day or two, whatever, and then we're going to be having some major issues. We go without food, we can go without a lot of other things, but the water is something that we need all the time. And so, spiritually, we need the same kind of thing. We need this conversation with God that we've been talking about in this class, where He talks to us through His Word, and then we talk to Him through prayer. Anything else? We find ourselves not wanting to pray because of a period of spiritual weakness.
Yeah, something else too, and I'll assume I'm the devil. If I'm the devil, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want godly people to do. If I were the devil, I want you to think, if you're going through a spiritual weak point, here's what I want you to think. Just like Brian's talking about, I want you to think that, you know what? I need a rest from this. I need to put all this over here, and I'll get myself under control, and when I get more spiritual, then I'll start all this other stuff back. That's what I want you to think, and that's very, very easy. It's easy for us to take a hold of that and say, well, you know, I'm not praying, and I'm not reading my Bible, and I'm not saying, I'm not meditating on the Word of God, you know, and those things. It's easy to put those things over here and then say, you know, and I'm going to wait, I'm going to stay away from all the good influence. I'm going to stay away from the people that I need the most at this time. And I'm going to figure this thing out myself. That's easy for us to grab a hold of that because, I mean, that's what seems right, you know. I want to straighten myself out and then get back, you know, then I'll get back in the race. And that normally does not work.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't.
Well, it's like I guess it was a meme, I don't know, something I saw, I think it was just yesterday, but it was saying that, you know, if we wait until we get our lives straightened out before we go to church or before we go to God, when we try to get our lives straight first before we go, that's like waiting until you stop bleeding to go to the ER. As soon as I get all this bandaged up and fixed up, I'm going to go to the ER. That sounds crazy, right? And so, you know, that's when you go. That's when you need to be there with the people that can help fix you. Well, a couple of things I had jotted down, and we'll move on. But we'll talk about praying more. We'll talk about praying for strength. I added to that list to just, if I feel like I don't want to pray because I'm not close to God, then I need to change my focus to other people. And we've talked about praying for others in a couple different classes here in this particular quarter. And take it off of me. Maybe I'm not as close to God as I need to be, but there are other people out there that need my prayers. And if I'll spend that time praying for them, then maybe I'll start getting the right attitude and the right motives. And the other thing was just asking others to pray for you, to add to that. Anything else real quick on that one from the little move? Okay. So the next one that's listed there in your lesson is this idea of feeling no need. I don't need to pray to God. And it talks in there kind of the same thing I was thinking as I was reading through that. I mean, if I asked you, who in here does not need to pray, raise your hand. I don't think any hands are going to go up. But do we not find ourselves sometimes, back in what we talked about a little bit on Sunday morning, this spare tire scenario to where it's there if we need it, but we don't really think about it until we need it. And then we're like, oh, I got a flat tire, I need my spare. Do we do God that way? Do we, if everything's going along okay, things could always be better, right? I think we would all agree with that. But when things go pretty good, everybody's pretty healthy, and financially everything's going pretty well, and I like the job, and I like my life, and everything like that, you know, what do I have to pray about? There's a lot more things than that, right? So a lot of times we find ourselves only going to God when a crisis hits. I talked about the boy falling out of the tree. I think I used that example in one of the early classes. And the boy's climbing up in the tree, and he falls out, and he's tumbling towards the ground, and he prays real quick, God save me. And God, and then he catches his belt on a tree limb, and he keeps him from smacking the ground. And if the story stopped there, it'd be okay. But then he said, never mind, God, I'm okay. Never mind. I don't even realize that God's the one that helped us. Sometimes we have that sort of an issue. We have that mentality of everything's okay, all is well, and I'll call you if I need you. If I need something, then I'll reach out to you. What is that an indication of? It's probably a terrible way to ask the question. But if we have that sort of mentality, that we only need God in certain situations and then we'll just call him if we need him, what does that indicate to you?
Lack of gratitude.
Okay, lack of gratitude, absolutely. What goes along with the lack of gratitude?
Selfishness,
absolutely.
Pride.
I was just thinking along the lines of just flat out immaturity. But I think lack of gratitude goes along with immaturity. Selfishness goes along with immaturity. Pride goes along with immaturity. That's, to me, that's just spiritual immaturity. To think that I only need God if I'm in crisis mode. And I hope that we don't spend our whole lives in crisis mode, but I hope that we do spend our lives talking to God. So if we don't feel the need to pray to God, what can we do to fix that?
Pray to God.
Pray to God. Good answer. What can help us change that immature attitude? What can help us change our mindset?
Study more to realize that everything comes from God and we're completely reliant on him.
Okay.
Most of these are going to be that same answer.
I'm ready for it, Dave. Next one. Pray to God. I'm ready. Yeah, go ahead.
You can focus
absolutely. So yeah, as Dave said, pray more, and sorry, I don't know your first name.
Devin.
Devin? Okay. As Devin's saying, pray for other things. It's not all about asking God for stuff. We talked about that in this class, right? There are other things to pray about. I think Brian talked about some of those different types of prayers. Lots of things. I wrote down here just this idea, we just need to take an inventory, right? If we don't feel that we have anything that we need to pray to God for, we need to step back and take an inventory of what do we need to pray for. And maybe make that list like Brad talked about in an earlier class. And once we start making that list, I think we'll start finding a lot of things that we need to be thankful for. We'll start finding a lot of things that we need to pray for in terms of other people. Again, we take the focus off of ourselves. Maybe everything is great in my life right now. Maybe I don't necessarily need a lot of additional help from God. Maybe I need to be thanking God for how much He's blessing me. But there's a lot of other people out there that may not be in such a grand state of life at the moment. I need to be praying for them instead of worrying about myself. Like Brad talked about, praying for others more than we pray for ourselves. That will help put things in perspective a little bit more. Anything else? I pretty much touched on what I have written down. Turn to Ephesians 6 real quick. I will read one passage along with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Because again, we're talking about this idea of not just praying for when we need help. Paul says here in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, and praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So if we truly put that verse into practice and we pray all the time and we pray for all different sorts of things and we pray with thankfulness and we pray for all the saints, there's a lot of things going on there besides just me not feeling like I have anything to pray to God about, right? We've added a lot more depth to that and a lot more elements to our prayer life. All right, the next thing that it talks about is this idea of being too bitter. You ever been too bitter to pray? I think this can go a couple different ways. One way it talks about this idea of being bitter, I think that's between me and somebody else. I'm in such a heated debate, such a heated argument, or I'm so mad about whatever they did that I can't calm myself down enough to talk to God. That's kind of the way I read most of what the lesson was talking about, but I think there's more to it even than that. Have you ever been bitter about the way a previous prayer was answered? Talk about that. Have you ever been bitter with God because He didn't answer something the way that you wanted it answered? I have been there. I try not to ever go there, but I have seen that a whole lot more than I've been there. People that maybe they were Christians, maybe they weren't. I've seen it on both sides of the fence. But people that have prayed to God for something and God said no. And then what do? Turn around and say, I'll never pray to Him again. I'll never have anything to do with Him. My mama was sick and I prayed to God that He would heal her. He didn't heal her and she died and I'm done with God. How could God let something like that happen? How could He say no? I'm not praying anymore. And they leave and they don't come back. I used to work with a guy that he felt like that about God and about the church because of certain things that he didn't agree with the way everything's laid out. He said, I'll never set foot in the church again. And it's, to my knowledge, he never has. I haven't seen him in several years, but it was sad. He was a member of the church. Used to go to 12th Street back before Lost River. And he just said, I'm done. I'm not doing anything else. I hope we don't find ourselves in that situation. But if we do, what can we do about it?
Study.
Oh, you switched it up on me. Study. Okay, that's a good answer. We can pray more, but we can study it, because if we're bitter with God about the way He answers prayer, what are there any examples that we can go to talk about God answering prayer? Lots of them, right? We talked about that in previous classes, and I'm going to rehash all of that. But if we're too bitter to pray to God, what do we need to do?
Most of the time when you're bitter about something, the only way you're really going to get over is to address the real issue. I mean, being angry at God, being angry at everybody else is not addressing the real problem normally.
Absolutely. That's Mark Pate was in here. What would he would talk about getting the tap root, right? He preaches a sermon about that sometime. Get the root of it. Get to the bottom of it. Figure out what the problem is and fix it. Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 18. As in the respect of having an issue with a brother, you guys know this passage, Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go to him and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over, but if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So that's the section of scripture that so oftentimes we do it the reverse order of what Jesus spelled it out for us, right? If somebody sins against us, first thing we do is tell everybody in the church and everybody but that person, and then eventually we try to go to them and talk it out. But Jesus gives the pattern here. If we have something against somebody, whether they know what it is or not, whose job is it to address it? Our job. If we're the ones that have been sinned against, it's our job to go to them. We can't sit over here and sulk and be, well, he did that to me, and he hadn't come and said he was sorry. He hadn't apologized to me, so, I mean, I have nothing to do with it. It's our job to go to that person. And that's not always the most comfortable thing. It's not the easiest thing. The easier thing is to sit around and sulk about it, I guess. And that's why we do that so often. Our job is to go to him, show it to him, and hopefully we can win our brother over at that point. And then we can resume our proper relationship with him and also with our God in prayer. We got to get to the root cause. Attack the cause of the bitterness. Take care of that. Reconcile ourselves to him. We can pray for him, right? Pray for our enemies, right? Talked about that in here, about the guy that had such an issue with his neighbor. And he was just furious with that neighbor until he finally added his neighbor to his prayer list and started praying for the neighbor. And then we start to see some changes in how things transpire. We need to realize our own sins, right? If we're bitter with God about something or we're bitter with somebody else, we need to make sure we realize we need to get the plank out of our own eye before we try to get the speck out of somebody else's. And then realize that we are sinners ourselves. Think about it. If we're bitter with somebody else because they've sinned against us, how should God feel towards us when we sin? Well, he could be bitter with us, but how does he choose to be? He chooses to be forgiving if we'll ask for that forgiveness. We need to keep ourselves in the right perspective here, not put ourselves on a pedestal. Not like the one praying, I'm God, I'm the Pharisee that says, God, I'm sure glad I'm not like this sinner over here. Right. We've talked about that in previous class as well. Anything else about being too bitter, whether it's with another person or whether it's with God? Any other comments, questions, thoughts?
One thing, too, and I like that you brought out the fact of being bitter with God, because that's the first thing that I think about. And I know of a case, too. I think I told earlier in this class about a woman, I mean, members of the church, you know, and wanted kids. Couldn't have kids, you know. And she did what you described. She said, I'm through. I'm done. But as other Christians, and I mean, I didn't invent this. She told me this. This is what happened. What happened was there was a group of ladies that didn't even go to worship with her. They went to, they were members of another congregation. And the whole time that she was bitter, and this had never ended. They were sending her cards, you know, encouraging cards, thinking about it. Now, and some of them knew that she had fallen away, some of them didn't. But they never stopped. You know, they were her sisters. They never stopped with their, you know, touching base with her. She wasn't letting it be known that she fell away. Her husband got up, every time, you know, and asked, are you going today? No. But he never failed. He just kept on. But it was those other Christians that they never stopped loving her. You know, they never stopped what they were doing, and it worked on her heart. Like I said, they've got three kids today, and probably one or two of them near grown. So, I mean, prayer, it wasn't answered in a particular way. She thought it needed to be answered, and she got, you know, because she had checked her boxes off, and she thought that's what she deserved. Nobody told her, you know, straighten yourself up. You're gonna have to get over this. They just kept on. They were right there for. They were just there. That's one of the things we can do as Christians. Because I still say I never know a time when someone's fallen away that the world ever brings them back and says we're done here. Y'all can have them back. It'll be somebody somewhere, either locally or in another town or somewhere, that will their influence on them will make a difference. And I mean, it doesn't always work, but it did in that particular case.
Gotcha. Good point. Anything else? All right. Turn to Matthew 6 real quick while we're still in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14. Again, we need to keep this in our mind here. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, again, we got to get to the root cause of it. If we're bitter with somebody over something, and that's affecting our prayer life, it's probably affecting us in other ways as well. But we have to forgive them. Otherwise, we're not going to be forgiven ourselves. And Paul talks about a lot about that. It's mentioned in several of his epistles. This idea of forgiving as in God Christ, or as in Christ God forgave us. Forgive like Jesus forgave. And remember, he was hanging on the cross, and he asked God to forgive the ones who were doing that to him. Not because they were asking for forgiveness. He forgave them. He was asking for forgiveness for them, even though they hadn't asked for it. So if we forgive others in that same way, if we follow that example, then it shouldn't have to be him coming to me to apologize. I should be going to him, or I should forgive him, whether or not he asks for that forgiveness. All right, so we talked about that, being too dry, having no need, being too bitter. The last one that the lesson talks about is this idea of being too ashamed. And we kind of put that on the board as this idea of knowing that we won't be heard. Why will we not be heard? Because sin will hinder our prayers. So what do we need to do if sin is causing us to be too ashamed to pray to God?
Stop whatever the sin you're doing first.
Okay. We got to get rid of the sin, right? We're back to this root cause analysis thing. We've got to get rid of the sin so that our prayers can then be heard. How do we get rid of that sin? We talked about that before. We got to confess it. We got to repent of it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 there talks about confessing our sins. And he's faithful and he will forgive us of that sin. We got to get rid of it. We got to stop doing whatever it is that we're doing. We got to start doing whatever it is that we have not been doing. What else can we do? We pray for forgiveness. We've repented of it. We've confessed of it. Is that it? How about everybody else? Can we go ask somebody else to pray for us? If sin is a problem, isn't that what we have each other for? Brad's just got to talking about that a little bit. We have other people to lean on. And I think we all know that. It's all right there in front of us. But at the same time, at least I know for myself, I have a tendency to do what Brian said a while ago. And I put those blinders on. I have sinned, or I have this temptation, or whatever it is, and I kind of want to hold myself in. I'm ashamed to look at you guys. I'm ashamed to talk to God about it. I'm ashamed to do anything. I just want to hold up until I can figure out a way to get over it. And I leave out all the best resources that I've got to help me with that. Why is that? I don't know the answer to that, but we need to try to take advantage of the opportunities that are given to us. I lied. That's not the last one in the lesson. That was just the last one on that page of my notes. Sorry. It talks about the idea of Adam and Eve, their being in the garden, and once they had sinned, how they tried to hide from God in the garden. Well, we can kind of be like that, can't we? We try to avoid God. We don't want to do anything extra. Maybe we go to church, we go through the motions, we show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but don't ask me to lead prayer, or don't ask me to teach class, or don't ask me to wait on the table. I just want to sit over here on this pew, and I just want to be left alone. Because I'm here, that, for whatever reason, that makes me feel a little bit better, but I don't want to do anything because I know that I'm already in this bad relationship with God. We need to lean on each other. Allow them to help us, ask others to pray for us, be willing. Maybe you don't go down front, and if it's a private sin that doesn't require a public confession, maybe you don't go down front and tell the world your business, but is there somebody who can tell you business? Somebody that you trust enough to talk to them and allow them to help you through that. I hope that there is. All right, so the last one in the lesson is this idea of being content with mediocrity. Content with mediocrity, what does that mean? We don't want to pray to God. We don't pray to God because we're just happy with the way things are. Is that basically what that means? We're just so. We're going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We maybe show up for gospel meetings a night or two, or VBS, and we just feel like we're doing better than most. You ever felt that way? I have felt that way, and I'm ashamed to say that I felt that way, but I have found myself thinking, well, at least I do this, or at least I do that. Well, I got he don't even come on Sunday nights, or, you know, I have put myself in that position before. Again, I'm ashamed to say that, but I have thought, well, I mean, I'm doing pretty good, really, if you look around. How silly is that? How shameful is that? We need to be doing better, doing as much as we can. And prayer is a big part of that. Questions, comments to that point? We've got 7 minutes left. All right, so I want to spend a few minutes talking about a couple of the other ones that you guys brought up then on Sunday. And actually a couple of the ones that I had in my list that was not on the lesson. One of the things that I was reading in another book, and it was talking about this idea of not having a place to pray. I don't know if you understand what that means or not, but this idea of I can't pray to God because I just don't have anywhere that I can just go be alone and pray to God. I thought that was a little bit interesting, but it did seem to be a valid point. What can we do if we have trouble finding a place to pray, a quiet place? If that's an excuse for you, what can we do about that?
First, stop making stupid excuses.
Okay. All right. So we got that out of the way. Let's stop making stupid excuses. Where can you go? I mean, I granted, your house is probably madhouse. I mean, the two of you plus the two of them, it's probably crazy. I know our house is. What can you do? I mean, I've never been a stay-at-home mom. I hope I never am a stay-at-home mom. But if you ever are a stay-at-home mom, what can you do?
There's several different types of prayers and several different places. Every one of us have found ourselves praying in different situations. Mm-hmm. So to say you can't find a place to pray, I don't know, you need something to shake your faith or something. The other day we went to a funeral for an old boy, Grant, and a beautiful boy that died. At 4 years old, they got a diagnosis, or when he was four, they got a diagnosis they didn't want to hear. But from that point until he died, they made sure they gave him a quality of life, plus made sure that they were faithful. And one of the things that Grant said, as I know that he's going, I got to make sure that I'm going there. So I don't think he's had any trouble praying every day. He's got something that continually reminds him where his faith needs to be and what he needs to be looking for each day.
Sure.
And maybe we need something to shake us every now and then and bring us back to reality of what really matters.
Well, good. What else?
As far as a place, I mean, I found myself praying in the shower. I don't think about I've got to be a certain spot to pray. I don't know.
I
guess some people, maybe that is, but I don't feel that it's necessary that you have to sit on the edge of that stool in the living room every day at 8 o'clock to, you know, or whatever.
I think you're hitting it right on the head. If we think we don't have a place to pray, we need to broaden our horizons here a little bit and think through it a little bit more, whether it's the shower or any other number of routine tasks, mindless tasks. I mean, that's my brain wanders in the shower. It's not like I'm doing anything difficult. I can use that for praying. Sure, driving, like Brad said.
Can we go anywhere that God isn't? You can't. Anywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So, I mean, just pick a spot. Any spot. He's there.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, exactly. And you know, we talked about that a little bit Sunday. We don't have to have... now, one of the things I was reading was there were some suggestions in there about actually setting up, I don't want to call it a shrine or an altar or anything like that, but actually making a spot in your house that is just your prayer spot. That's what you do in that spot. And every time you walk past that spot, you think about prayer because that's your prayer spot. And okay, maybe that's what you need to do, maybe not, I don't know. But I'm not talking about having a crucifix on the wall and beads or anything like that or burning a candle. But maybe you want to make you a spot and you dedicate that spot. I mean, I know people that have a reading spot in their house. They got a chair with a lamp, maybe sitting next to a window, and that's just a reading chair. That's all they do in that chair. And if there's no other chairs around it, it's not for a gathering, it's not for people to come bother them, but they sit in that chair and they read. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. I knew a woman one time, I've talked about it in here before. She's the one that held her hands up, closed her eyes when she went across bridges because she didn't like going across bridges. But she prayed, you know, as she went across. Same lady, one time I was spending the night over there at her house with her son, and she says, all right, get in the car, we're going to pray. What are we doing? Come again? She said, get in the car, we're going to pray. And she took us down the road to the church building, down the road from her house, that she had the keys to, and we went, she wouldn't even remember there, that's what I thought was odd. But we go into that church building, and she goes down to the steps by the pulpit, and she kneels down, and she starts praying, and that's what we were supposed to do too. I don't know, it was kind of weird, but that was one of the things I saw. I was like, if you can't find a quiet spot in your house, maybe you stop by the church building on your way to work, or your way home from work, or whatever. And you find a quiet spot and spend a few minutes in prayer. I don't know. And I thought that was interesting to think about. Maybe you take a walk. I mean, can you talk to God while you walk? Just go take a walk. Whether it's down the street, whether it's through the woods, whether it's to the mailbox, whatever. Find time. Spend that time talking to God. Granted, I think we need more time to talk to God than the trip to the mailbox and back. I'm not saying that's enough. I'm just saying you can use that time for that sort of thing. Too tired. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday. I don't want to beat that up too much, but I cautioned you. That's kind of the last thing I brought up on Sunday is if you find yourself falling asleep when you pray to God, you probably need to change the time that you're praying. Maybe as soon as your alarm clock goes off and you haven't got out of bed yet, maybe not your time. Maybe when you lay down in the bed before, you know, as soon as you set your alarm clock and you lay down and hit the pillow, maybe that's not your time if you find yourself falling asleep. Maybe it's your lunch break. Maybe it's as soon as you get home from work, before you start dinner, before you sit down and have dinner, whatever it is, something like that. Let's see. I had some others here that you guys brought up. Dave talked about, I think it was Dave brought this up, we just forget to pray. Right? We talked about being too busy, but what if we just forget to pray? What can we do? If it's important to us, what do we do? What do we do for things that are important to us?
Set a reminder.
Set a reminder? You said something?
Make time.
Right? Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear what you said. We make time for it. We reprioritize our life, right? We decide what we want to do, what's important to us. And as Jennifer said, we set a reminder. I mean, if I want to get up in the morning, I set 4 or 5 alarms because I want to make sure I get up. And usually I sleep through all those. But we set reminders. We set alarms. It's time to do this. I take medicine 3 times a day. And guess what? I got a reminder on my phone that rings 3 times a day because I'll forget. I'll be sitting there at work and it's time to take it. The medicine's there and I just completely forget to do it. But I set that reminder. And maybe I'm an hour late doing it sometimes if I find myself in a meeting or whatever. But at least the reminder is there. I can catch up soon as I can. All right, thanks for your attention. I think Brian passed out lesson 9. If you didn't get a copy of that, there's some still on the front row here. And he'll start that on Sunday. I'm sorry, Brad. You're supposed to have it. time is it? Thank you.